Tennessee just sounds perfect.
Whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure.
To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com.
Tennessee sounds perfect.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Ridiculous History is a production of iHeartRadio.
Welcome back to the show, Ridiculous Historians. Thank you, as always, so much for tuning in. Let's give it up for the one and only super producer, Mr. Max Williams.
Ta-da!
Yep, yep.
Noel, what's your favorite font?
Oh, papyrus, obviously.
Yeah. If someone asked me, Ben, what's your favorite font? I gotta tell you, I would not have a good answer. We both have a lot of very accomplished graphic design friends, and I think all three of us, right? And graphic designers are pretty sensitive about fonts.
Yeah, for sure. Serifs, no serifs, you know?
What do you want?
Oh my God, don't even get me started on kerning. Yeah, I briefly sort of had a dalliance working in a graphic design company doing video stuff, and that's when I learned terms like kerning and serifs and all that. But I was just mainly taking elements that the actual graphic designers did and then converting them into like After Effects animations, you know, where text on screen for video type stuff. But anytime I made any adjustments to things like kerning in the design they sent me, for whatever reason, they clocked it instantly.
Oh, yeah. They got a spidey sense for it. And there needs to be some sort of discipline, right, for this conveyance of information. Look, no matter what language you speak, no matter where you live in this wide world of ours, you are constantly inundated by type, by letters, by messages, by communication from some other thing to you. We played a dangerous and weird game that, Max, you would love, back on Stuff They Don't Want You to Know. We were talking about insidious patterns of advertising, and this was a number of years ago. We tried to count how many ads we saw in 24 hours. Everyone trying to play this game lost count. No one won. There are just too many. Type is everywhere.
And that speaks to some of the tricksy methods that go into type setting. I use that as kind of an outdated term, perhaps. You know, font would be more the proper term now in the era of kind of digital graphic design. But in the old days, it was called a typeset because it was literally a set of metal letters that were used on a printing press. You know, for every single letter, that there was a typesetter who had to go in and place those puzzle pieces in, you know, for every single page of a publication, right? But, you know, when we're seeing advertisements that make creative use of fonts, we always come back to Chick-fil-A. You know, think what you will about their politics, whatever. Their ad campaigns are on point because they capitalize on a phenomenon that I believe is called disfluency, where because of their whole misspelling and kind of childlike handwritten signs, your eyes linger on it longer because it's sort of a puzzle to solve.
Right. Yeah, just so. In the world of Chick-fil-A, cows want you to focus your genocidal tendencies on chickens.
That's right.
And so, okay, this type is everywhere. Font or typeface is a crucial part of how we encounter information when we read it. And if you think back now, just through your day before you tuned in to this episode, you will have probably seen multiple different fonts in one instance or another. And they do affect us psychologically, but we rarely ask where these fonts came from. What's their provenance? What's their origin story? This is a question that has haunted our good friend and research associate, Jeff Bartlett. Mm-hmm. So Jeff, this one's for you. He went to the mat on this. He's in the trenches with us, serif or sans. This is a two-part episode.
Yeah, and we're not just talking about the provenance of every run-of-the-mill type font. We're specifically talking about fonts that have gotten, for better or worse, a bad reputation, you know, whether from a design perspective, a legibility perspective, or just kind of a bad taste perspective. So I we were talking off air. The original title of this was Stupid F***ing Fonts. Believe me on that, Max. But it changed, you know, because it's a family show, to The Fonts We Love to Hate. And I was joking when I said papyrus. There's a really great, that is, you know, among some of the, one of the most hated fonts out there. And there's an amazing sketch or like a digital short on SNL with Ryan Gosling where he comes to the realization that the logo for the multi-gazillion dollar grossing film Avatar from James Cameron, the text is literally just papyrus, which is kind of this, you know, it's meant to evoke feelings, I guess, of like mystical ancient Egyptian tombs. It doesn't even really do
it's
that,
supposed to,
you know,
feel like you're reading a scroll.
Yeah, 100%.
Right? Yeah, early 90s video games, yep. Loved it. Lots of blogs in the 2000s, loved it.
And in the short, he kind of has an existential crisis on, like, you know, some designer, if you can even call them that, just highlighted the text and scrolled down. And like a child pulling flowers off of trees as he passes, willy-nilly just selected papyrus and hit, you know, print.
And I want to give a shout out to my second favorite discourse about fonts ever, which is from McSweeney's. All you have to do is, since we're beeping already in this episode, all you have to do is type in the phrase, I'm Comic Sans asshole.
Yeah.
And you'll be in for a ride. So, okay, I said typeface, I said font. They're a little bit different. Let's clarify the terminology here with some help from Ashworth Creative. Typography is the art of creating letters that we use every day in any language. You design them, you decide what the A or the Z always looks like. And a font is a collection or set of those things. So they include all the little garnishes of this weird English language, the semicolons, the dashes, the interrogatives, and exclamations. So the typeface is the design you see. It's the style and look of a specific font. And, you know, you raise a great point there, Noel. The way the letters look plays such a mission critical role in how people encounter the thing. Like, imagine, okay, I was thinking about this. Imagine if you woke up one day, you're driving in traffic, and all the road signs are in papyrus font.
I would think I was having a stroke and entering some sort of fugue state.
Most pretentious stop sign ever. Yeah. I would be disgusted.
Or even worse or more chaotic would be, you know, Comic Sans. Like, has the whole world just gone stupid? You know, like that would be the implication there. It's very interesting. Like the idea of the medium being the message, right? Mm-hmm. Contained
shout out
within,
Marshall McLuhan.
100%. Contained within the design aesthetic, right, of these fonts, there's a certain amount of intent communicated to the consumer, to the viewer, the reader, or whatever, you know, whether they're wanting to an ad campaign or whatever, or a sign, let's say, or a document, you know, like a legal document. They're going to have style guides, you know, for various law firms, like in terms of how they space things, you know, the font they use, you know, what words or headings or highlighted, you know, because it's all meant to convey a sense of professionalism, but also a little bit of like, this is our style. But when you're doing, like, let's say a poster for a movie or, you know, an advertisement for a product, are you trying to convey a sense of fun, excitement, danger, perhaps?
Or formality, mm-hmm. Right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Or consequence.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Hey, Noel, have you ever wanted to wake up to something better?
Oh boy, have I ever, Ben.
Well, this is where Avalon Waterways comes in. How does waking up to a medieval castle, an ancient cathedral, a rolling vineyard, or a charming cobblestone village sound to you?
Well, here on Ridiculous History, that's right up our street, Ben, our charming cobblestone street. So I can say it sounds pretty good to me.
You're absolutely right, Noel. Avalon Waterways has redefined cruising in so many different ways. They've got the widest opening windows. They've got beds that face the passing scenery. So wherever you go, you have a front row seat to the views of the world. And not only do you wake up in the best staterooms in the entirety of the business, but you're waking up in a new port every day, right in the heart of these amazing historic cities.
Ah, Ben, sign me up. Open your eyes to a better view and a different kind of cruising. One with smaller ships, bigger experiences, fewer people, and more of everything.
Limited time special offers await at AvalonWaterways.com.
So this week, we wanted to hang out and talk about not all fonts, not the necessarily the history of all fonts.
Hashtag not all fonts. Yes.
Hashtag not all fonts, or hashtag no tall fonts.
Right. Oh, right. So boy.
English is so weird.
It's so fun.
We wanted to talk about the fonts that get hated on.
Right.
We named some of them. You know, there's this sort of feedback loop in this, the age of ubiquitous communication. Anything that becomes too popular too quickly inevitably gets haters. So on behalf of these very hated fonts, we're going to say condolences to haters. Let's learn more about their history. Noel, you set up Comic Sans beautifully. Let's talk about Comic Sans. I can't believe I'm saying this. I thought originally, we're digging in on this, I thought Comic Sans, made in 1994, that's pretty recent. And I was politely, diplomatically reminded that 1994 was a long, long time ago.
It is. Yeah, it's weird to think, right? The 90s, you know, there are like children now, again, I say children who are able to vote and like buy alcohol who were born in the 90s. It's weird, man. They just keep, you know, we just keep getting older and they stay the same age. No, they get older too.
Max is a 90s baby. Yeah,
well, 100%. And there's nothing wrong with that, Max. Go with God. We wish you the very best.
I'm at least an early 90s, 91. So I'm like, you know, I had a tape cassette player in my car.
Oh, okay. Bully for you, young Max. Bully for you. You know?
Why is that? Why is that the street cred? You didn't have a phonograph in your car? Get out.
You didn't have an 8-track? Come on, buddy. No, but here's the thing. I mean, the 90s, of course, you know, as you can see with pop culture and stuff, anytime a new decade begins, it's basically kind of a trickle-down remnants of the previous decade. So honestly, Max, the early 90s, still very much felt like the 80s. So you're good in my book, buddy. You're good in my book.
So Comic Sans, there's this guy. His name's Vincent Canare, C-O-N-N-A-R-E. He designs Comic Sans, which is a sort of thicker line for the letters, and it doesn't have serifs. You've heard us use the phrase serif. A serif is the little dealy bop.
A little blip.
Yeah, that goes on the edges of letters in other fonts. Times New Roman loves a serif.
It can kind of make things feel a little more adorned, perhaps, or a little more ornamental. Or in the case of like Times New Roman, almost give the sense of that you might have gotten from like a stone cut font, type face.
Yeah,
it looks carved.
Mm-hmm, that's exactly the idea. Yeah, that's great. That's a good way to put it. It's just that slight projection, that slight protuberance off the stroke of a letter. Yeah. And
sorry, so it makes me think of something naughty. I don't know why.
So, all right. So apparently our pal Vincent said, no naughty protuberances in my font. And this was, he designed it based off the fantastic craft of letterers
by hand,
yeah,
comic books
in the world of comic
strips,
books,
whatever.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, if anyone out there is a fan of graphic novels, comic books, whatever, you'll know that there is a credited letterer, mm-hmm. and that in comics, like for example, in the Sandman, which I think we all love, the text in the speech bubbles for Morpheus look a certain way that like have this kind of dreamy quality, like everything he's saying, even the bubbles themselves are a little jagged on the edges and the text looks like ancient. And then, you know, text from other speakers might just be more of that normal kind of that traditional comic lettering, which like you said, is very sans serif-y. But what if we took that craft of hand lettering and just kind of slapped it into a font set and called it a day?
Who's going to stop us? God? Anyway, so...
Some people just want to watch the world burn, man.
Right. Agents of Chaos. So there's an excellent article in The Guardian, how we made the typeface Comic Sans, and it has an interview with our pal Vincent. And Vincent gives firsthand reporting of how he figured this out. He says, I was working for Microsoft's typography team, and they had a lot of dealings with people from other applications. Encarta, which was a thing. Creative Writer, which was a thing.
Encarta was Maps, right?
I believe so, yeah. Maps, Learning, Encyclopedia,
yep.
Publisher. And so Vincent's in this weird situation because all these different stakeholders want all kinds of different fonts. And he says a lot of these fonts felt strange and childlike to him. One program was called Microsoft Bob, B-O-B.
Here's why.
Apparently, Microsoft Bob was a program designed to make computers more accessible, less intimidating to children. And he said, let's give you the quote. He says, "I booted it up and out walked this cartoon dog talking with a speech bubble in Times New Roman." Wow. And Vincent says, "Dogs don't talk in Times New Roman. Conceptually, it made no sense," which I don't know how to explain it.
That's
but
weird.
I get it. I don't feel like dogs speak in Times New Roman.
No, you're right. Absolutely. And especially what I guess would be considered a cartoon dog, right? A cartoon dog would speak in the language of cartoons.
Yeah. So we said, maybe my synesthesia is coming out here, and maybe Vincent has synesthesia, but I totally get it. And I think we all do. So he says he had this idea to make a comic style text, and he started looking at Dark Knight Returns
awesome.
And Watchmen, the graphic novels, two not of the adaptations. Yeah.
Dark Knight Returns is, I believe, Frank Miller. A very cool, stylized, noir, gritty Batman story. And obviously Watchmen, hugely important graphic novel series by Alan Moore, the notoriously cranky and witchy Alan Moore. But again, excellent examples of exactly what we're talking about in those, like using the fonts and using the hand lettering style in ways to kind of speak to the characters and their motivations. So, you know, to our typographer, his point, Vincent Conners, no, a cartoon dog wouldn't speak in Times New Roman. He's right. Conceptually, it needed to be something that felt like congruous, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And points for congruous, though. I love
that. We're having a wordy day. We're having a word. Yeah, we're talking about letters. We're going to drop some words. Nice. Because, you know, let's also remember, too, that in these days, these fonts all had to be installed on your computer, and they still do to a degree if you're doing design stuff. Now, you know, a lot of things are just rendered graphics that are like vector-based, and you don't necessarily always have to have the fonts installed to see, you know, stuff on the internet. You know, but in these days, you absolutely did, and so they had to create. It couldn't just be a design element that was hard-baked into the actual design. They had to make something that would be installed on every system.
Mm-hmm. And Vincent says he's looking at these graphic novels. He loves the hand lettering. He loves the consistency of it. And I suspect the disfluency to a large degree. He says, "I could have just scanned it in and I could have copied what they were doing, but it felt unethical." So he looked at specific letters over and over again, different instances of them, and he mimicked them on his computer. He didn't sketch it. He said it was just me drawing with a mouse, deleting whatever was wrong. And while he was doing that, he was breaking all the rules of orthodox typography. So like one of the old school rules for creating a font or a typeface is the idea that there should be a certain symmetry. Your lowercase p's are going to look like your lowercase q's with just turned in different directions. Yep. And Max, thank you for the hand signals there. It's sad that we're just an audio show for now. But Max is doing a great gesture interpretation of this. And so our buddy Vincent, he says, "No, I like this disfluency. I want the p and the q to look different." And he doesn't get there in time for Microsoft Bob, but he says, and this is what's nuts. A lot of people don't know this about Comic Sans. When it first came out, a lot of people in Microsoft loved it. It felt fun, you know, it was zippy. It was bang, pow, kaboom kind of stuff.
Exactly. It kind of made you feel like you were able to communicate the same sort of excitement and whimsy as, you know, comic strips.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Vincent says, this is not us. This is coming straight from Vincent. He says, "Our office administrators started using the font, even though it didn't make it into Microsoft Bob. They started using it in internal emails for birthday parties, for little get-togethers, and Comic Sans was just fun. It fit. You know, you get an email, it's in a different font, and it's not asking you to turn in some work. It's not reminding you about a deadline. It's saying, hey,
it's
we're getting together, you know, we're going to have some like quesadillas or something, because that defines a party to me.
Ain't no party like a quesadilla party, because a quesadilla party goes hot.
Yeah, it goes around like a clock. Oh my God, they're so great. They're so great. Anyway, so eventually this becomes so internally popular that they include Comic Sans in Windows 95. And Vincent says he begins to see it everywhere. And then the backlash began.
Snagajob is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Hey, Noel, have you ever wanted to wake up to something better?
Oh, boy, have I ever, Ben.
Well, this is where Avalon Waterways comes in. How does waking up to a medieval castle, an ancient cathedral, a rolling vineyard, or a charming cobblestone village sound to you?
Well, here on Ridiculous History, that's right up our street, Ben, our charming cobblestone street. So I can say it sounds pretty good to me.
You're absolutely right, Noel. Avalon Waterways has redefined cruising in so many different ways. They've got the widest opening windows. They've got beds that face the passing scenery. So wherever you go, you have a front row seat to the views of the world. And not only do you wake up in the best staterooms in the entirety of the business, but you're waking up in a new port every day, right in the heart of these amazing historic cities.
Ah, Ben, sign me up. Open your eyes to a better view and a different kind of cruising. One with smaller ships, bigger experiences, fewer people, and more of everything.
Limited time special offers await at AvalonWaterways.com.
Yeah, and like it's because, like you said, Ben, anything that has a sense of over-adoption, let's just call it, you know, it's going to start having some backlash. But a lot of the backlash also just had to do with people kind of misusing the font, right, in ways that wasn't appropriate. Because remember, like we said, you know, sometimes a font set is used to communicate like a certain emotion or idea. So what if, like you said earlier too, Ben, all the traffic signs were in Comic Sans? It would impart a certain lack of authority to those right. those things, it's you funny, know, yeah. that you were supposed to fear or at the very least pay attention to. Not a birthday party invitation, right?
Right. I like that, because now we're picturing, I know all of us listening today, we're picturing different fonts on traffic signs, and that is such a trip
yeah.
right now.
Oh, yeah.
Papyrus, Comic Sans, dare I say Wingding?
Oh,
people
dude.
Would die.
I want to know more about the history of Wingdings. Who came up with those? And who has ever used them successfully? I guess they're kind of just early clip art, if you think about it, you know? Mm-hmm. Use the little pointing hands as borders in your newsletter or whatever it might be.
Oh, we'll get to Wingding. That might be part two, but we'll get to Wingding. We want to sew up Comic Sans here real quick. Vincent's a good guy. He's a smart dude. He made a cool font. He's proud of it, but he, I don't know, it just stinks to make something on a lark, something fun, something communicative, and then have people band together and bond, not because they like what you made, but because they hate it. It didn't take long for a group called Band Comic Sans to form. And their whole thing was that they wanted to educate people about the uses of typeface. Though in their defense, they did email Vince earlier and ask him if it was okay for them to start the group. And he
said, that interesting?
Yeah, he said, it seems silly, but, you know, go nuts with it.
Well, because he cared about the use as well. Like, he was very keyed in. There's a really great quote from him saying, you know, when people use it inappropriately, if they don't understand how type works, it won't have any power or meaning to them. He describes a guy at a Rothko art show, Rothko, you know, who does a lot of like assembly kind of, you know, collage pieces. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've heard of this about this guy say, like, I could have done that, you know? Yeah, but you didn't do that. And just because something maybe seems rough hewn, like, for example, Van Gogh's art style is very, you know, childlike in many ways. But that's a man who comes from a background of classical style painting. He chose stylistically to present the work that he presented. And the same with Rothko. And that's because style matters. Style is a communication tool unto itself beyond the words that are actually being typed.
And let's make space for an anecdote that Vincent gives us. That's so cool. In his personal life, he used Comic Sans one time. He said he was having trouble changing his broadband provider. So he wrote to them and he sent the letter in Comic Sans, and it said how disappointed he was. And he got a refund. And he said, I recommend it for these cases. His basic theory being the following. He says, typography should not shout, but Comic Sans shouts.
That's right.
I agree with it. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe, like, should we start sending important emails, like, at our day job?
Memos.
Should we already changed mine during this recording.
we're gonna send.
Goodbye, Kendara.
No one is gonna take you seriously, Max. If you do that, you need to think.
Who takes me serious now?
Oh, come now. You're serious,
man. Very seriously. Yeah, you should see that guy at Monster Jam. He's in it. So. He says that he, being Vincent, the creator of Comic Sans, says that people did take to it on their own. He said it didn't take any marketing from Microsoft, and it often gets misused in the creator's opinion because someone just digs it. They vibe with it. He says, you know, he's very clear that Comic Sans is not, in his opinion, appropriate for all things. There was a slideshow at CERN, right? Like a deck, basically, where they announced the discovery of the Higgs boson. Huge moment in physics. Huge moment in human history. And the presentation was in Comic Sans. And even Vincent, the guy who made Comic Sans a thing, saw that and thought, tut, tut.
And that's the thing that's so interesting about this. I mean, this Vincent is a typographer. You know, he is someone who is very well read on the rules. You know, and like you said, Ben, when he was making the font, he actively ignored those rules on purpose to achieve a result. And then because it just became so obnoxiously ubiquitous, people using this font, you know, not really understanding its power, like we said, it became hated. And I'll tell you, in particular, because of the very reasons that Vincent outlines, and he knows this, particularly hated by designers because they just find it to be just cliche, and not to mention that he broke all the rules of the aesthetic of it. So they just find it to be kind of just gaudy and just, you know, it makes them cringe, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very in vogue to dislike that font in particular. And we want to give a shout out to David Kadavi over on designforhackers.com. He notes something that I thought was pretty insightful. He said to he's a Comic Sans hater. Sorry, David, it's fine. Your opinions are your own. He says that Comic Sans has poor fundamentals, and he compares it to a much more beloved font called Helvetica. And Helvetica has, like, you can pull these up if you want to play along at home. Helvetica feels much more distinguished, you know, much more proper. Max obviously hates it. And Max is not a Helvetica guy. And Noel, maybe you could describe just the vibe of Helvetica. I think when we talk fonts, we're talking vibes, right?
We super are. Helvetica is just, it's very clean, right? It's very legible. It is also, it's both clean and bold, right? It has this, imparts authority to it.
Very European.
Yeah, he describes it as such. Though the strokes of Helvetica's letter forms are unmodulated, some adjustments are made to improve its legibility. For example, notice how the stroke on Helvetica gets thinner where the shoulder meets the stem on this letter N. He's demonstrating for his class.
Oh, like in lowercase r as well.
100%. So this helps to give the letter a more even visual weight. Notice how Comic Sans is not this way. If you squint your eyes, you'll notice there is a disproportionately heavy area where these strokes meet on Comic Sans, while Helvetica's weight is more evenly distributed. The ironic thing about this distinction is that Comic Sans is actually influenced from a drawing tool, a round felt-tipped pen or marker, but the stroke of the tool is unmodulated. Meanwhile, the letter forms of Helvetica are rationalized from predecessors without apparent influence of a drawing tool.
Deep water.
Yeah.
We're in deep water. We're under the hood on fonts.
And we're going to move on to another font shortly, but I just wanted to end this segment. I thought we could read off a couple of things that might be on the poster for the Comic Sans Sucks movie.
Yeah, these are coming from prepressure.com. How about we round robin? You
kick
it off.
Let's do it. Yeah. The AOL of fonts.
Max, I can't wait for the sound cues here. Comic Sans is the dirt bastard of the design world.
An email written in this font makes the sender seem ridiculous and out of touch.
I honestly think when I see Comic Sans that the person has a lower than average intelligence level.
It's not that it's a terrible font. It's rather that it suits non-designers far better than those of the sense of the aesthetic would like. Oh, that's the snobbiest quote I've ever read in my life.
I don't want to hang out with that person.
No, not fun at parties.
Can you imagine them talking about beer or coffee?
Ugh. Yeah. And again, I think we're all fans of design here. You know, fans of aesthetic. And obviously we wouldn't like write our emails in Comic Sans either, but the level of venom attached to it, I find kind of mind boggling. And
I find it performative.
Yeah, it is a little bit. Yeah, I think so too. As are a lot of these things, because again, you know, fonts are designed to do a thing. And I think Jeff did a fantastic job in finding us some really cool context from the creator himself, who is very much a student of font, of typography, of design. He made this for a very specific reason that you could argue he did successfully. But then it's like the way it gets misused and misappropriated that create the hate.
And you know what? If anybody listening today, fellow Ridiculous Historians, if you are a letterer, if you are a designer, if you are beefed up with Comic Sans, you know, all the best to you. We're just giving you the facts. We also have to point out, in all fairness, folks, you're obsessed with it. You're fascinated by it. We are making this a two-part episode because we needed to spend the first part on Comic Sans. I mean, come on, right? Noel, back me up here.
Well, not only on Comic Sans, but I think we had to set the stage for the whole larger conversation, talking a bit about just the history of fonts and all of that stuff. And then within the conversation of Comic Sans, I think we kind of hopefully established sort of a bigger framework as to where we're heading. So we're going to make part two a little bit more of a grab bag. So maybe part one will just be like, to fonts we love to hate. Part one, the Comic Sans story.
There we go. I've got to figure out a way to publish this and play with fonts. I don't know if the technology is there yet, but if it is, prepare to be, we give you a chuckle. We also hope that you tune in for our further exploration of fonts. Big, big thanks to super producer, Mr. Max Wingding Williams. Big, big thanks to our research associate, Jeff Sans Serif Bartlett. I'm passing out font nicknames. Noel, what's a good one for Jonathan Strickland? What'd it be?
The
Kernanine?
You put me on the spot, man. I don't know enough font names. I'm not a font nerd. I'm excited to dig into some more, though, on the next episode. We'll see you next time, folks. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.